Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, which is The Spirit-Filled Life, Discover the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley. This is a book that is a personal favorite of mine, and I'm excited to dive back into it again for myself and also for this podcast. On the last episode, we went over the introduction, the prologue, chapter one, and today we're going to be diving into chapter two. For those of you who are here for the first time, I want to read you a bit about what this book is about and definitely want to direct you to the show notes so that you could get a copy for yourself. The description says, are you trying your best to be a good Christian but still feel something's missing? Does the peace and joy you long for seem to elude you? Can following Christ sometimes feel like a lot of work, or is it just not working very well? Much has been written about the Holy Spirit and what it means to have Him as an active part of your life. Dr. Charles Stanley cuts through the confusion and teaches the truth about the third person of the Trinity, who is as real and active as God the Father and Christ the Son. Through personal stories, biblical exploration, and insightful explanation, Dr. Stanley helps you discover who the Spirit is and how to develop a relationship with Him, who the Spirit isn't and how to avoid damaging misconceptions, how being filled with the Spirit actually works, what the Bible really teaches about spiritual signs such as speaking in tongues, how the Spirit can increase your capacity for faith, hope, love, and personal transformation, what it means to hear the Spirit's voice, how to make the most of your unique spiritual gifting to build up Christ's body, and what happens when the Spirit's power is unleashed in your workplace, your family, your friendships, and every other area of your life. Don't settle for an ordinary life that lacks power, joy, and meaning. Live the mighty and victorious Christian life you were created to enjoy. Discover the Spirit-filled life and the great gift the Father has given through His Holy Spirit. Now, I can't emphasize enough that this is one of those books that I want you to get a physical copy of, because this is one that I want you to mark up. I want you to highlight scripture. I want you to go and study the scripture for yourself. This is a book that I just feel like needs to physically be on your bookshelf. And I don't believe that just listening to the audiobook or just listening to my recaps will do it justice. So if you have not gotten this book, I cannot stress enough the importance for you to get it. So go ahead and click the link in those show notes so that you can get it. All right, so we are here at chapter two called My First Encounter. Now, I always pray before I record a podcast, but today in particular, I wanted to pray for the hearts of those who is going to hear and receive what is being discussed in this chapter. Because in this chapter, he confronts head on a lot of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. And he even is vulnerable and transparent about his own misconceptions and how he wrestled with reframing his thinking as far as who he perceived the Holy Spirit to be. And I feel that the same tension that he felt when he was exposed to truth is the same tension that you guys may feel depending upon how the Holy Spirit has been presented to you in your Christian journey. Maybe you grew up in a Pentecostal church, you grew up in certain settings where the Holy Spirit was referred to as a it or the Holy Ghost, something that you can catch, etc. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we're going to go into some details about the ways, the incorrect ways in which the Holy Spirit has been presented to people, which is keeping us from truly being able to live a Spirit-filled life. But in the exposure of truth, I know that that is also a great opportunity for offense to happen. And so before I got on here, my prayer was that the Lord allows you to receive this truth in a way to where it penetrates your heart and in a way in which offense doesn't make you discredit how the Lord wants to reveal himself to you and the truth that he wants to impart into you. So I'm excited because I know for those who this does challenge, on the other side of it, if you accept the truth, is going to be a new level of living and a new level to your Christian walk. And that makes me excited to think about people who are now going to truly be able to live a spirit-filled life who may not have been doing so before based upon or because of misinformation. So let's hop right in. Pastor Stanley starts off this chapter with a personal story. He says, "When I was growing up, the Holy Spirit was always referred to as the Holy Ghost. As a child, I thought it sounded spooky, not something I was really interested in knowing so much about. I remember thinking, God is my father and Jesus is his son. I can relate to them. But what is this Holy Ghost and who needs it? For a long time, I decided to settle for the two out of the three. There was another reason I shied away from the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a church where he was never mentioned. My pastor didn't explain who he was or preach sermons about him. The Christians I knew who talked about him were so strange that I assumed getting involved with the Holy Ghost meant that I would have to be like them. I wanted no parts of that. So I was content to worship the Father and pray to the Son and leave the Holy Spirit for someone else to worry about. It wasn't until I was in seminary that the Holy Spirit became a recognized factor in my life. I say recognized factor because as I look back, it is clear to me that he was definitely there all the time. I can remember several occasions when the Holy Spirit revealed things to me without my knowledge of who he was." Now, this actually made me stop and think. I wrote in the margin, what was my first introduction to the Holy Spirit? And I can think of personal instances where it's very obvious that he was with me. And then I also think about being in Christian settings and how he was introduced there. Y'all know I didn't grow up in church, but I attended church every now and then when I was growing up. And so my church experiences growing up was my mother's church and my grandmother's church. My grandmother's church is a old school Baptist church. I don't remember too much talk about the Holy Spirit at all in those settings. I just didn't. It was a lot based upon tradition, preaching, a lot of singing, announcements, you know, the typical long services that Black churches have become known for. I don't remember, though, ever learning about the Holy Spirit in that sense. And I don't even remember there being any type of, like, you know, miracles or prophecy or anyone speaking in tongues, any gifts that's associated with the Holy Spirit. I don't remember seeing those there. It was just a lot of preaching, singing, and the traditional aspects of a Baptist church. My mother's church that she made me go to the most growing up, it was a mega church, and it was very much about prosperity gospel, how the Lord wants to bless us, how we can get ahead. In that church, I experienced prophecy, but prophecy more so in the pastor or whomever telling somebody how God wants to bless them. It wasn't who I know the Holy Spirit to be now. I didn't see that there. And I don't remember too many teachings either about the Holy Spirit. It was just very much typical mega church behavior, lots going on, lots of money being spent, lots of money being talked about, prosperity gospel. As I got older and started going to church for myself, as I'm growing in my faith on my own, I remember as I'm reading the Bible and learning about the Holy Spirit for myself, I was in church and at the end of every service, they do an altar call. And so there was three appeals at the end of the altar call. And this was something I would see in many churches where it's the appeal for salvation, it's the appeal for membership, and then there's the appeal to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was confusing to me as I began to read my Bible more because I'm like, I don't understand why there needs to be an appeal to come and be filled with the Spirit that's automatically indwelling in us once we accept Christ as our Savior? What is this extra step that's being added in the middle? I just didn't understand it. I remember even one time I went to a church service and they did an altar call to come down and get filled with the Spirit as part of, you know, the end of the service. And I felt like because I've been in these spaces now and everybody has this altar call that maybe I'm missing something. So I decided to go down to the altar. And at the time, the pastor or whomever was praying over the people, all of us that was up there, and he told us to raise our hands and to ask the Lord to be filled with the Spirit. And then he told us to just open our mouths and just let a sound come out, just any sound. And so I got my hands up. I just let out any sound. And then he's walking around just like laying hands on people, asking God to fill them with the Holy Spirit, fill them with the Holy Spirit, fill them with the Holy Spirit. So then I see people falling out. I see people start, you know, speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues. And I'm looking, because, you know, on one end, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get filled with the Spirit. So my eyes are closed. My mind is going 50 miles a minute because I'm like, what is even going on? Like, I don't feel anything. Am I supposed to fall out if he touches me? Like, what is supposed to happen? I see these other people mumbling. Like, is that what I'm supposed to do? Because everybody seemed to be getting hype once they start mumbling. And so they came over to me, lay hands on me. I'm not falling. Like, let's be clear. The Holy Spirit will literally have to knock me out. I'm never going to be one of them people that fall out because you laid your hands on me. Absolutely not. I'm just low key. That's just a bit much for me personally. But so I just start like mumbling the same thing I hear everybody else doing, just saying anything, not really speaking in tongues, but just doing what I think I should do, because that's what everybody else is doing. But I don't feel anything. There's no power here. It's just a bunch of commotion. And so then everybody in the churches is rejoicing. They take us to this back room and they give us a pamphlet. And I remember just being so confused because I did not understand, like, what was that? I'm young in my faith. I am a Christian, but I'm still learning what it means to live this life. And I didn't really get any answers there. I didn't know why I needed to do something to get in quotes, the Holy Spirit. The Bible that I'm reading doesn't have like a step in between, but, you know, I'm new to this. So maybe they know something that I don't know. I'm never going to think that I'm the smartest person in the room. So if you're the one in charge, maybe it's something that you know that I'm not comprehending here. But this just don't seem right to me. And I remember just letting it go. But in my letting it go, I was still frustrated because I felt like this was an integral part of my journey that I just simply didn't understand and didn't have any resources, any discipleship, or any spaces that I could go to really teach me about the Holy Spirit. And while Mr. Stanley here says that it wasn't until seminary, so literally like 20 years after he gave his life to Christ before he recognized the Holy Spirit. For me, it wasn't that long, but it was still years of being confused and incomplete because this important person is not taught enough or accurately in a lot of settings. And it's unfortunate, but the good news is, whether we recognize the Holy Spirit or understand the Holy Spirit, he is always still at work. And that's what he discusses in this next section called Working Behind the Scenes. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed. right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Revolve.com. Many of us do a lot of our shopping online, and sometimes shopping online can be a bit overwhelming, but I really love the experience with Revolve.com. I love specifically how once I find something that's my style, it recommends similar items. So it's almost as if I'm curating this shopping experience that's specific to what I like and what fits my body the best. They also have some amazing curated edits. So if you're looking for something specific, let's say a date night, special event, vacation, they have these curated collections for you that fit exactly what you're looking for. Revolve.com has over 1,200 brands and 100,000 styles across high-end, emerging, and exclusive labels in fashion, beauty, and home goods. With new arrivals daily, we always have something new to choose from. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast two-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. IXL works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. He says, the Holy Spirit is working in your life this very minute. You may not be aware of it, but He is. What is He doing, you may ask? The answer to that question is what the remainder of this book is about. A big part of the Spirit-filled life involves identifying the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit. In fact, learning to recognize the Holy Spirit is the first step to live the Spirit-filled life. After all, if we are supposed to be led by the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:18, it will certainly help if we would recognize Him. It is difficult to follow someone whose identity is unknown. He says the Holy Spirit is not as mysterious and elusive as some would have us believe. The Holy Spirit is an integral part of our Christian experience, but because we are so unfamiliar with His ways, we often miss His presence in our lives. As long as we miss Him, we certainly can't follow Him. And you guessed it, as long as we can't follow Him, we can't experience the wonderful Spirit-filled life. To get us thinking in the right direction, I have listed a few tasks that the Holy Spirit endeavors to accomplish in your life on a daily basis. We will look at each one in detail later on, but take a minute now to familiarize yourself with this list. The next time you experience one of these things, stop and thank the Holy Spirit. In doing so, you will develop a heightened awareness of His activity in your life. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, the greater your awareness, the easier it will be to recognize Him and follow Him. So here is a list of the tasks of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the task, and then I'm going to give you the corresponding scripture. I'm going to read it as well, but I want you to write these things down so that you can study them. And also now be mindful of when these things come up that, oh, this is the Holy Spirit at work. The first task of the Holy Spirit is to convict. The corresponding scripture for this is John 16, 8 through 11, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "And when He comes, He is in the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see Me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." Now, I want to just emphasize that conviction is not condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Condemnation or shame is what the enemy uses to crush our spirit, to separate us from the Lord, to make us feel bad, to make us feel unworthy. The way that the Holy Spirit convicts is He has such a loving way to correct us that I could best liken it to a good parent. Like those of you who may have good parents or good parental figures in your life, the way that they correct you when you are wrong is not in a way to where they put you down. It's not abusive. It's not in a way to where they make you feel like the worst thing in the world, but it's a loving correction. It's a, hey, you're not getting this right. I need you to instead do XYZ, but I'm here to love you through it. You may feel bad because we don't want to disappoint our parents. We don't want to disappoint the Lord, but it's not that shame that makes you just want to run and hide and disappear. There's just such a loving way that the Holy Spirit convicts. And we experience His conviction in big and small ways in our life. A small way is you might have said something you know you ain't need to say to someone you love, a client, a spouse, a friend. And you get that inner conviction like, let me go apologize. I knew I shouldn't have said that like that. Let me go back and apologize to that person. That's the Holy Spirit. Just making sure that we remain Christ-like and correcting us when we need to be corrected. Sometimes it's a decision that you may have made in your business, but after you make it, you don't feel a lot of peace about it. That's the Holy Spirit letting you know, hey, that wasn't the best thing. And then as you lean into that, you get guidance on how to course correct, which is another one of the tasks. The corresponding scripture for that is Romans 8 and 14. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Another task of the Holy Spirit is that He illuminates. So let's go back to John 16, verses 12 through 15. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, aka the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring Me glory by telling you whatever He receives from Me. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from Me." This is one benefit of the Holy Spirit that I think a lot of us downplay because we expect for mysteries to only be revealed to prophets. So we cling to those who are prophet this, prophetess that. But a core function of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate, to tell us what He has heard, to tell us about the future, to tell us whatever He receives from the Lord. It is in His functionality to reveal mysteries to us directly, not for us to have to go to any third party to hear what He has to say. Now, the Lord does speak through others to us, but we also can hear directly from Him. details about the future. And for as long as we allow ourselves to be misinformed of the function of the Holy Spirit, we are setting ourselves up to live less than He's called us to live. There's so much clarity in being submitted to the Holy Spirit. There's so much peace. There's so much assurance. There's so much to be revealed. And we can see that here through the text. Another task of the Holy Spirit is He teaches. Using this exact same scripture, it lets us know that He teaches us. He also, speaking of assurance, He assures us. Let's go back to Romans. The scripture for this is Romans 8:16. It says, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Another task of the Holy Spirit is that He intercedes. Let's go to Romans 8:26. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." He's going to talk about this later in the book, but one of the things that I have personally enjoyed from living a Spirit-filled life is this intercession aspect. There have been so many times, because I do have the gift of being able to speak in tongues, and I primarily speak in tongues in my prayer time. And there have been so many times where I didn't know what to pray about, or the Lord may have placed someone in my heart. I may have seen something, maybe a subject matter that I wanted to pray about, but not specifics. And I would go into my prayer time and I would just speak in tongues. And after doing that for a short period of time, I would then have the words to articulate what exactly I needed to pray about. And that came directly from the Holy Spirit. I didn't know why He put this person in my heart, but as I am just speaking in tongues, I start to then pray for them in English in very clear terms about what the Lord wants me to pray about. But that insight can only come from the Holy Spirit. And He's going to talk about that in a lot more detail as we go on in the book. I don't want to get too far. Another task of the Holy Spirit is to direct. Let's go to Acts 20 and 22. And actually, let's put the last two tasks together. He directs and He warns. Both of these can be found in Acts 20, 22 through 23. It says, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lies ahead." We've even seen in our Bible on Business series where we've been at in Acts the way that the Holy Spirit will direct and warn. The last episode, we talked about how He wouldn't let them go to Asia Minor. He kept closing the door. And so these are examples on how we see His direction in action. So let's recap for those who are taking notes. These are the tasks of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the task. I'm not going to read the scripture again. I'm going to just tell you the scripture again. And then I want you this week to focus on recognizing when these are taking place. And I want you to study the text so that you are now able to see the Holy Spirit's fingerprint in your day-to-day life, because that's going to help you to be able to grow to truly living the Spirit-filled life. So again, the Holy Spirit convicts according to John 16, 8 through 11. He illuminates according to John 16, 12 through 15. He teaches according also to John 16, 12 through 15. He guides according to Romans 8, 14. He assures according to Romans 8, 16. He intercedes according to Romans 8, 26. He directs according to Acts 22. And he warns according to Acts 20 and 23. Mr. Stanley says, "Another reason for some of the confusion regarding the Holy Spirit is that even believers do not know who He is or what He does. His identity remains a mystery to a large number of those in whom He dwells." Ironic, isn't it? Some think of the Holy Spirit in terms of a power force, something like what we saw in the Star Wars series. It is not unusual to hear Christians talking about getting the Holy Spirit, in air quotes, or tapping into the power of the Spirit. Such phrases leave the impression that the Holy Spirit is some sort of divine energy source that Christians are to live in harmony with, thereby increasing our personal potential and power. I've heard New Age supporters talk about the Holy Spirit in a similar way. From their point of view, the Holy Spirit indwells in all humanity. They say our responsibility is to develop that spirit within us and thus move towards a greater understanding of our personal deity and oneness with all people. The Bible, however, does not present the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force or power. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a something. The Holy Spirit is a he. As I mentioned earlier, I was in seminary before I began my formal education in the ways of the Holy Spirit. I was sitting at a table with several buddies, and during our conversation, I said something about the Holy Spirit and called him an it. I didn't think anything about it. Having been raised in a Pentecostal holiness church, I had always heard the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost referred to as it. When our conversation came to a close, one of the fellows asked me if I would join him in his room. It just so happened that he was a doctoral student, so I felt honored by his invitation. When we walked into his room, I was overwhelmed with the number of books he owned. They covered every inch of his walls and the floor. If I wasn't impressed before, I certainly was then. After a few minutes of casual conversation, he reached over to his desk and pulled out his Greek New Testament and handed it to me. I noticed that tonight when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, you called him an it. Yeah, I said, why? The Holy Spirit is not an it, he said. From there, he proceeded to take me on a tour of the New Testament. We explore all the key verses where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. To my surprise, I discovered that the New Testament is consistent in its presentation of the Holy Spirit as a he rather than an it. One verse that particularly caught my attention was John 16:13, which says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. I knew just enough about the Greek language to know that the term translated he could not be translated any other way. John meant he, not it. Further study revealed that John went out of his way to use the masculine form of the pronoun. I was convinced. I have been raised on the King James Version of the Bible. It's a wonderful translation, I might add, but the King James Version translates the third person singularly as it rather than he. Romans 8:26 is a good example. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. If you are like I was, you may be a little uncomfortable about changing your references to the Holy Spirit from it to he. As we look at other biblical support for this view, however, I hope you will see why such a change is necessary. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. He goes on to discuss the personality of the Holy Spirit. He says, The Bible not only refers to the Holy Spirit as a He, but it also ascribes to Him all the distinctiveness of personality. Specifically, the Holy Spirit is described as having 1, knowledge, 2, will, and 3, emotion. The Apostle Paul certainly believed the Holy Spirit was knowledgeable. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:11-12, "For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know things freely given to us by God." The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God, and the Holy Spirit imparts the knowledge to believers. The Holy Spirit, then, is not simply an impersonal force. He has knowledge, and He has the power to impart knowledge. The Holy Spirit has a will as well. It is in his discussion of spiritual gifts, Paul referred to the Holy Spirit's responsibility of distributing gifts at will. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually just as he wills. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:11. I had this part highlighted as well for emphasis. He says, "The Holy Spirit makes decisions." This is something I think we all need to really grasp. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. He is not a power to be harnessed and manipulated. He has a mind and will of his own. To tap into the Holy Spirit is not to enhance one's ability to carry out one's will. On the contrary, the power of the Holy Spirit is available only to those whose intention is to carry out his will. How many places have you been in where you've seen people try to manipulate the Holy Spirit? I mean, I've been in places like, especially in prophetic places, I feel like you see this the most, where people will say, "I prophesy by the Spirit of God that you will blah, 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 blah." The Lord has not told this person that to tell this other person. It's them trying to harness the power of the Holy Spirit to essentially what they're doing is wish that something happens on this person's life, or hope that this happens in this person's life. And the person, because you want it to happen in your life, you soaking it all up, you falling out, you hollering, all these different things, saying that you receive it. But that's not how this works. Even in the example I gave earlier of people, or these churches having altar calls where people come down and get hands laid on them so they could be filled with the Spirit, what they're really trying to say is, or what they're really trying to impart, is the gift of speaking in tongues most of the time. But the Holy Spirit chooses who he distributes what gifts to and when. So it's not up for us to walk down and say, "God, I'm ready now." It's not up for a pastor or any person in power to lay hands and say, "Holy Spirit, give it to them." The Holy Spirit has his own will. And how he distributes gifts is his judgment, his discretion. I remember years later, after this encounter, I'm still growing in my faith. I'm still going to church. And I was in a service, and it was praise and worship going on. I had my eyes closed. I was just singing whatever song was playing, and I was just in deep worship. I'm crying because all I could think about is the ways in which the Lord has been moving in my life, the way that he has changed me. I'm just playing in my mind just all the goodness that I could think of the Lord. Like, I can't even articulate, but you know when you get in that space where you are just overwhelmed with gratitude for how much the Lord loves you and what he's done for you. That was a space that I was in. As far as I was concerned, there was nobody else in that room. It was just me and the Lord. And I was just crying, crying, crying. So during this time, I'm going through all of this internally, I'm crying externally, and out my mouth, I'm just saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." I'm singing the songs, just in so much gratitude and worship. And then all of a sudden, I just started speaking in tongues. It was as if this something came over me, air quotes as something came over me, and I just started speaking in tongues, and I didn't know what I was saying, but I couldn't stop it. And it scared me, honestly. I had jumped a little bit and opened my eyes and like looked to the right, looked to the left. Well, nobody paid me no mind. This is a whole personal experience with me and the Lord. But that was my first encounter or my first experience of speaking in tongues. And that was the time in which I received that gift. Nobody else, I didn't try to force God's hand by answering an altar call. Nobody else laid hands on me and tried to force the Holy Spirit's hand by imparting it, quote unquote, into me. It was just me in a setting with the Lord in gratitude. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit decided that that gift would be distributed to me. I didn't ask for it. But he decided at his discretion that that's when it would be given to me. Not when I walked down to answer that altar call where the people was doing the most. The next section here in the book is called Good Intentions, Bad Theology. He says, several years ago, a woman walked up to me after our Wednesday night prayer meeting and said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you to get the Spirit. I told her how much I appreciated it and didn't think anything else about it. Until the next Wednesday night when she did the same thing. This exchange went on for several weeks. I had a feeling I knew what she was getting at, but I never had a chance to talk to her. She would walk up, tell me she was praying, and then walk away. Then one Wednesday night, she took me by surprise. She said, well, did you get the Spirit this week? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't get the Spirit that you were talking about, but I have been filled with the Spirit. Have you been baptized by it? She said. It was clear to me at this point that she wanted to know whether I had spoken in tongues. So I said to her, why don't you pray that the Spirit will give me whatever gifts he wants me to have and we will let him decide from there. All right, she said, and I never saw her again. She had overlooked that the Holy Spirit has a will. He, not we, decides who gets what in relation to spiritual gifts. He is not our servant. As we will see later, he is our guide. The third aspect of personality ascribed to the Holy Spirit is emotion. The Holy Spirit has feelings. Paul instructed believers in Ephesus not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians 4:30. In his letter to the Romans, he referred to the love of the Spirit. That's in Romans 15:30. Love and grief are terms associated with emotion. The Bible portrays the Holy Spirit as one having all the characteristics of a personality. It makes sense then for us to think of him as a person. He says, another line of evidence pointing to the personhood of the Holy Spirit is his work. Throughout scripture, we find him performing duties normally associated with a person. For instance, he prays, according to Romans 8:26. He searches the mysteries of God and then reveals them to the saints. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:2-10, excuse me. He teaches, according to John 14:26. He reminds, according to John 14:26. He talks, according to Acts 13:2. And he guides, according to John 16:13. The Holy Spirit is clearly not a force. He is a thinking, feeling person acting in perfect unity with God the Father and God the Son to work his perfect will out in our lives. But he is more than a person. He is part of the mysterious entity we call the Trinity, an aspect of the Godhead we will look at more closely in the next chapter. He then talks about the impact that this shift of thinking has had on him personally. He says, discovering that the Holy Spirit is a he rather than an it was very disorienting for me. I didn't know exactly what to do with this new bit of theology. I was accustomed to talking to God and Jesus. I remember wondering whether or not I should talk to the Holy Spirit. The first time I tried it, I was really uncomfortable, but I felt like it was something I needed to do. I was embarrassed by the fact that I had been treating him like an it. Furthermore, I was convinced I owed him an apology. After all, I had basically ignored him for more than 20 years. It took me a while, but I finally grew comfortable addressing the Holy Spirit as a person. I quit referring to him as a ghost. He is not a ghost any more than God, the Father, and Son are ghosts. The Bible does not instruct us to pray to the Holy Spirit, but since it doesn't forbid us to, I thought I would be safe. As I grew in my understanding of the roles the Holy Spirit played in my life, I began asking him to assist me in those areas. When I didn't know how to pray about a particular matter, I would ask the Holy Spirit to help me pray. When I needed insight into scripture, I would ask him to enlighten me. After 6 months or so, it felt natural to talk to the Holy Spirit, and doing so has been a major part of my Christian experience ever since. Do you talk to the Holy Spirit, or have you been ignoring him? He is a person just like Christ, and he has been sent by the Father to assist you in all the practical matters of Christian living. He is your number one helper. In light of that, I would suggest that you get to know him, talk to him, thank him. Why is this so important? It goes back to what I said earlier. The Spirit-filled life is a life characterized by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. It will be much easier to follow him if we know him, if we have a relationship with him, and if we can recognize his fingerprints in the daily affairs of our lives. Take a few minutes to acquaint yourself with the Holy Spirit. If you feel uncomfortable talking to him, tell him so. After all, he already knows. If you feel a little embarrassed for ignoring him all this time, tell him that you're sorry. Take some time to look back over the verses that I listed earlier. As you read each one, thank the Holy Spirit for fulfilling those responsibilities in your life. Ask him to make you more sensitive to his promptings. The Holy Spirit is doing his work in your life every day. He doesn't need to change a thing. What needs to change is your awareness of his presence and activity. When you know what to look for and when you look for it, you will be amazed at how real the Holy Spirit will become to you. These discoveries were the beginning for me. I share them in the hope that the Holy Spirit will stir up your curiosity and make you want to know more. We are blessed to live in a day and age in which we are no longer required to wait for the Holy Spirit. The truth is, he's waiting on us. As we said last week, every chapter ends with a section called Think About It, where he asks some questions for you to reflect on based upon what we discussed in a chapter. So the questions are, have you been guilty of ignoring the Holy Spirit? Do you find it difficult to relate to the Holy Spirit as a thinking, feeling, and active person? Do you have difficulty identifying the Holy Spirit as a he rather than an it? Have you been reluctant to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit has attributes such as knowledge, will, and emotion? Can you identify things that the Holy Spirit has done in your life in the past that you have not given him adequate credit for? So that's the end of chapter 2. We have a lot to study from this chapter. We got a lot of scripture. We have a lot of questions. And we also have an assignment to force ourselves to recognize and reflect on the way that the Holy Spirit has been active, whether we have recognized him or not. As I've grown in my faith and grown in living this Spirit-filled life, there are so many things that I could look back on now where I could recognize that the Holy Spirit was at work. And sometimes it can get frustrating because I'm like, man, I wish that I would have known that that was the Holy Spirit so that I could have sought him for guidance. I could have sought him for assurance and direction and all of that, and not just maneuver through life as if I was alone when he was clearly intervening all along. But that's that condemnation that the enemy wants to bring. What's more productive, though, is as we reflect on the ways in which the Holy Spirit has always been at work in our lives, to come to him with a level of gratitude and a level of honesty so that as we move forward with the remaining aspects of our life, we are operating in a space of awareness, acknowledgement, and submission to him moving forward. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I pray that this blessed you. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.